This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thank you so much for listening. Andy Daynard is back on the show with me today. Andy is the editor and publisher of RealityBlurred.com, a website where he writes about reality TV shows and reviews them as well. And I've asked him to join me today to talk about this summer's reality fair. Hi, Andy. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Paul. Thanks so much for having me.
One of the things that you and I talked about last summer was a problem with CBS's show Big Brother, and in particular, some of the things that the contestants on that show allowed to come spewing out of their mouths, racist comments, homophobic comments, etc. And everybody understands that, you know, when you're locked up in a house with nothing to do but talk to other people, every once in a while you're going to say something stupid. But these were really hateful and ugly things that were being said by at least one contestant last year. And I wonder, with Big Brother 16 going this summer on CBS, has the network vetted its contestants any better?
The answer seems to be yes. And I think one thing that was unusual about last summer was that although the TV show version only showed one person doing that, it was really a majority of the house. And it wasn't just isolated comments or something that could be an offensive joke. It was, like you said, over and over hateful things that just didn't seem to have any place in normal conversation or society. So far this summer, nothing that, like, we've had the live feed broadcast since about Thursday. There's been nothing anywhere near approaching that, and nothing really of any offense level at all that I have heard about. So that's really good. Before the season, one of the contestants was discovered to have written something on Instagram that was pretty racist and also homophobic at the same time. He nailed a bunch of bigoted remarks in a series of one comment, just couched in a political opinion. And, of course, his political opinion is fine, but the language is pretty awful. But, again, that was one comment and one person. So I think so far we're much better off than last summer, although it's a pretty low bar that this show sets.
You know, what's interesting about this is that this show is hosted by Julie Chen, who also hosts The Talk on CBS. And her husband is Les Moonves, who's the head of CBS. And I wonder how involved he is, because, after all, he doesn't want his wife to look bad or have the show reflect upon her because of the idiocy of some of the people who are there. How involved do you think he is in choosing these contestants? Or is he way removed from that in his corner suite?
No, he's extraordinarily involved, and he's involved with all of CBS's reality shows, but especially with Big Brother. I think one of the reasons why it remains on the air, despite sort of having, you know, it has decent ratings for the summer, but nothing spectacular. But obviously, again, Julie Chen does host it, and he picks the contestants and will reject and select people that maybe the producers or the casting producers want or don't want. So he's very, very micromanaging. And he admitted that last summer to TV critics when we asked him to basically defend the awful bigotry that was happening in the house. And he said that he's still really involved in picking people. So if you see someone on TV, he's vetted them personally.
Does that mean he takes the blame?
I would say absolutely. It stops at him. And the fact that he allows what's happened over and over again, season after season, to happen, I think it definitely 100% lies with him. And I think he's made it clear that what matters is the show gets decent ratings and makes money for them. And so he's putting profits over all else, which,
yeah,
I guess is his job. So
that's him admitting, I will put horrible people on TV and allow them to say horrible things as long as people watch.
Exactly. Totally that.
Paddy Chayefsky is rolling over in his grave somewhere. All right, let's talk about another reality show this summer, and it's yet another singing competition. This time ABC is taking a shot with something called Rising Star. How's that doing?
Really poorly in terms of ratings. It's only aired one episode, which was last Sunday, but NBC also counter-programmed a special edition of America's Got Talent against it to try to kill it right out of the gate. So it might get a little better ratings tonight. It's an interesting show because it's like American Idol or The Voice, but the voting occurs in real time using a smartphone app that you download. So as someone's singing, you vote yes or no on them, and then you literally see a bar graph rising on the screen saying how many people like or dislike that person. So it's really interesting to have that kind of direct impact on live television. The problem with the last week's show was that over 2 hours, only 10 people sang, and there was, like, way more talking and talking and not enough voting, because that's the real fun part is, you know, crushing people's dreams on live television.
Oh, you're the sadist in the group. Okay. But you're right. I mean, absolutely, that's an element of the show. I'm curious, though, because they're taking live votes. That would mean that the East Coast numbers go up on the screen. What happens when it airs in the other time zones later?
So they say that basically the other coast has the opportunity to correct any errors that we make, basically. So those of us on the Central and Eastern time, obviously, again, vote live. They vote, but if one of the contestants on the live broadcast doesn't get 70% of the vote and doesn't go through, they have a chance to sort of recover more votes from the West Coast and then potentially make it through if more people vote for them on the West Coast. But last week that didn't happen, so it looks like the West Coast, as usual with live television, is just being left out.
So what does this mean? I guess what ABC's strategy here might be is we want people to watch the show live rather than record it and watch it later on their DVR, because at that point, even if you wanted to participate, and I never would, but there are people who would want to participate, you couldn't if you watched it on a Tuesday or Wednesday or Friday after the show aired live on Sunday. Although I guess the same is true with the other shows like Idol, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think Idol is a difference because you can vote all night long, and so you can DVR it and watch it later that night, or you can fast forward through the commercials and watch it an hour later. With Rising Star, you can't do that because the voting window is literally a minute and a half long. So if you want to participate, you have to watch live, and you're exactly right. That was their strategy to get people to watch live. And I think it's a smart idea, and that it has a lot of potential for future series. Like, it would be, you know, it wouldn't work with a show like Survivor, obviously, but a show like Big Brother, which takes place in real time, wouldn't it be great to have them see what people think of them live, or have us make a decision that immediately impacts their game live? I think that would be, you know, it brings things back to more of a sort of sporting, like watching sports together instead of we're watching reality TV stars.
But you said it didn't get ratings last week, maybe because of NBC's aggressive move to counter-program it, and we'll see how it does tonight. But aren't we done with singing competitions after all these years of Idol? And how's that show going to pull out of its free fall, by the way?
Idol is, their plan to pull out of the free fall is to do exactly what they did this year. So identical judging panel, Ryan Seacrest is back, no major changes announced for this show except for the fact that contestants can name somebody who is their motivation, and if they win the show, that person will get $50,000. But that's not the kind of thing that will get people to tune in. So I think they're just going to kind of keep going forward. And what Fox has sort of said is that Idol is very much like Survivor, where it used to be this phenomenal hit, and now it's kind of settling down to a sort of like average rated show. And that's a good argument, although Fox's entertainment president, Kevin Riley, was just fired at the end of this TV season. So, and the fact that Idol has fallen mightily and he has nothing to protect his poor shows, I think, is part of why that is. So maybe look for some changes there eventually because, I think we're super oversaturated with singing shows.
Yeah. I've only got a minute left here, Andy. Anything else this summer on the reality front that's worth watching?
So far there hasn't been any breakout hits like last summer, at least for me. I loved Naked and Afraid, although it had sort of a cheesy gimmick, great set. So that, I haven't had any breakout shows like that for me so far. A couple interesting things coming up. We have like Top Chef Duels, which is like a new spin on the Top Chef format on Bravo. That might be interesting. And also on CNBC, of all places, there's a new show called Restaurant Startup that starts on July 8th. Which is about investors sort of helping people start their own restaurants. So kind of the reverse of the shows where they go in and fix broken restaurants. So I think there might be something interesting there. And CNBC has actually been producing some interesting reality. So we'll see what happens.
And I saw a story this week that said that like Naked and Afraid, there actually are other, quote, naked shows coming on. There's no actual nudity on these shows. You don't get to see anything really. But there's one coming up called Naked House Hunters, where nudists go and talk to realtors about houses. I mean, that's over already, isn't it?
That aired last night on TLC called Buying Naked. And then next month we have a show called Dating Naked, which is about nudists who date each other. So It seems that you're definitely a little trend popping up there.
I think these network executives are watching a little bit too much late night Skinamax.
Exactly.
Andy Daynard is the editor and publisher of RealityBlurred.com. Check his site often for news and reviews of what's going on with reality TV. Always a pleasure. Thanks for joining me here today, Andy.
Thanks so much, Paul. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
This is America Weekend. America.